Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Whether you were a soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine.
ConnectingVets.com.
As far back as she can remember, Amy loved computers, how they worked, what they could do. They were a challenge. She wanted to learn as much as she could. So she harnessed her passion, and now she's a cybersecurity officer in the military. If you have a passion, a vision for your future in any field, todaysmilitary.com can be your path to a fulfilling career. You have a calling, we have an answer. Find your way at todaysmilitary.com.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, because now I'm getting hot enough to even want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. Who that? You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. If you hear a little pep in my voice, it's because it's Friday. We all made it. And all of our weeks and weekends, they look different now through these unprecedented times. That hasn't changed our desire and want to, and how nice it is to get to the weekend. Whether you're John Martin, whether you're Jason Smith, whether you are Jeff Calkins, or you, our beloved listeners, weekend's upon us. And yet, we may need it. Because we all right now could use a break from the news we're getting. You saw the latest. Big Ten. Conference-only football schedule. Memphis-Purdue. Second week of the season for Memphis. That game in West Lafayette, Indiana. Canceled. Won't be happening. Happened after we got off our show yesterday. Memphis released a statement. Said it understands. And I imagine. And John Martin joins me. They'll still get paid for that game, right?
I think so. I think
Memphis is going to get paid going up there. Nice little. So I think Giannotto had the $750,000 was first I saw. So I want to give credit where it's due, but they'll get some of that money, won't they?
Yes. But it's going to be a question as to how much they get.
Yeah,
right?
Beach said there were financial considerations that would be.
obviously considered later on. But that's Memphis going to get something out of that deal.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay.
So
there's a precedent.
We'll get to that. We will absolutely get to that because I do have some big thoughts on it.
Big thoughts on a big Friday from John Martin.
Because you see the Big Ten talking about doing this. The ACC is talking about doing this. Pac-12 is talking about doing this. Now, I did talk to somebody who was familiar with the AAC's thinking last night, and the word I got was that we are not going to make any knee-jerk reactions. Listen, it may get to a point where you're only playing conference. Let's be honest. Playing conference games is still a pretty damn full schedule in college football. What are you missing, like three games? You know, so it's still quite a full schedule. So I have a lot of questions as to the motivations of these conferences who are – you know, who are pulling out of the, you know, because honestly, the reality of the situation is that it really squashes non-Power 5 teams who depend on the revenue from those games. And I think what you're going to have a hard time, because this is going to go to court, it is going to absolutely go to court, and what you're going to have a hard time doing is convincing a court that, you know, if you're citing force majeure, how are you citing that with only non-conference games when – let's be honest, in the realignment, the last round of realignment, sometimes you're traveling further for these conference games than you are for some of your non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
So explain to me how you arrived at the conclusion that it was unsafe to play these non-conference games, but it's safe to play the conference games. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get pretty ugly, I feel like.
Well, that's why people are going to settle for some of these.
No, but you're going to pay. You will pay. Purdue is going to pay. So anyway, we'll get into all of that today throughout the course of the show. We do have a big show planned for you on this Friday at 12:25. We're going to be joined by Aki Collins, moving some things around on a Friday. You know, Freaky Friday, that's how we do things. So we'll talk to Aki Collins at 12:25. And at 1:25, Mike Golic Jr. is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Big Ten's decision, the future of college
what's Notre
football.
Dame going to do?
What's Notre
still
Dame going to do?
Like
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it sounded like the ACC was going to
help
accommodate them. Yeah.
But ACC, obviously, too, are very much inclined, it sounds like, to follow the plans of the Big Ten. So, of course, they'll save Notre Dame because Notre Dame's a brand. They bring value, that kind of thing. And a win over them represents something. But they'll be one of the few, I imagine, that some of these big conferences want to bring along. That's what you wonder, to John's point, is just this – is this where the breakoff happens?
Yeah.
You know, that it's already divide. You know, wide, that divide between the haves, have-nots. Here's an opportunity that could get much wider, and you know we'll see if they leave schools like Memphis behind. Hopefully not. That's why you could use a sort of, heard you make this point, a czar in football that's kind of looking, that you could kind of hope was looking out for everybody, because it feels like everybody's just looking out for themselves, especially the big dogs.
I will say I was told yesterday by that same person who was familiar with the AAC's thinking that they are close to finding a czar. They are close to identifying that sort of commissioner.
Well, it will help. Everybody said it. This ain't some new, you know, some new way of thinking. It's needed.
Yeah, it
is
needed.
It's absolutely needed.
So anyway.
But I still don't know how you, if you don't have the non-con games, John, and particularly the bigger ones, then how do you determine your four teams in the college football playoff?
Right.
Now, because so many of those results have a big impact on who's where, how you pick them, which conference is better than the other one. I mean, so that part of it's still got to be figured out as well.
Yeah.
A lot to figure out.
So, that is happening.
We'll ask Golic Jr. about it at 1:25.
Yeah, on the show today. But, Jason, we live in some crazy times, man.
Tell me about it.
And I thought that in the first half of 2020, I had seen it all. I thought in 2020, I mean, UFOs have been confirmed by the U.S. military.
Yeah.
You know?
Kind of.
A pandemic is ravaging.
That's happening.
Or as Bennett Doyle would say, ravishing the smorgasbord that is planet Earth.
You give him too much grief over that.
Well, he's on vacation.
And then you make it public.
He needs it. But a pandemic is ravaging our planet right now, specifically the United States of America. Maybe it's not even ravaging the planet anymore. Maybe it's just ravaging the United States of America. You know, we have pretty much seen it all in 2020.
We liked it so much, we decided we're going to let it stick around a while. We're going to play with it a little while.
Yeah, right? COVID's really become a friend.
We're enjoying this so much.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, it's like a warm blanket.
Well, everybody else has moved on, to your point.
Yeah, I thought I'd seen it all until you pointed me in the direction of this incredible story over WREG. And we all know that sports is a is a mechanism that sometimes can, you know, listen, at 49ers Raiders games, you get stabbed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like for real.
Yeah, like it's real life out there, man. You know, over there, you know.
Giants Dodgers games are like that too.
Yeah, and like South America, you know, you can get your head cut off, you know, say the wrong thing at a soccer game. You know what I mean?
At the game?
Bro, it's happened. I feel like I've read a story.
I mean,
where
I know they'll kidnap players afterwards and all that.
I feel like I've read a story before where they're kicking a dude's head on the pitch, man. You know what I mean?
Where is that at, man? Shut that league down, John.
I think it's – maybe I'm making that part of it up, but I know that, like, soccer games can get pretty violent. So, you know, the arena of sports is not one that is, you know, unfamiliar with violence and with passion, right? With passion.
Conflict, yes.
It brings it out, you know? And it is no different in the city of Memphis. It is no different than right here in the 901. This story comes to us from WREG News Channel 3. A fight between cousins, Jason, family members.
That's blood.
A fight between cousins regarding University of Memphis basketball coach Penny Hardaway led to a physical altercation and attempted murder charges being filed against a Mid-South man. This happened a week ago, last Friday. All right, so it was a Friday, Jason. To your point, you come in here today, you got a pep in your step. You got your paycheck today.
Everybody was off, too, because it was, you know, it was your off day for the 4th. It was the day before the 4th, man. Everybody's in party mode, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Feeling good that we got the extended weekend.
Yes.
Most of us.
And so, exactly, what do you have to be upset about? Well, in this case, these two cousins, Tyrone Taylor and his cousin, were arguing over whether or not Penny Hardaway was a good coach. They were arguing over whether Penny is a good coach. And we don't know which side of this Tyrone was on, but I can probably guess which side of this he was on, because Tyrone Taylor punched his cousin in the face and then pulled out a gun and fired. And then he was charged with attempted second-degree murder, employment of a firearm, and being a convicted felon in possession of a gun. So no, that's all we know. We don't know the name of Tyrone Taylor's cousin. But would you not say, based on the facts that we have, that Tyrone believes Penny is a good coach? Because you would not feel the need
to defend. That is the first thing that you bring up with this story.
Well, we need to establish who's on what side.
If we're gonna go to establish anything, the first thing you do, John Martin, rightfully so, is hope that this cousin that shot in the chest,
yes,
lives. We pray he lives.
Yes, yes, we do.
You know,
yes. It sounds like he's gonna make it.
Before we decide who was on whose side here, and which side was the shooting side, Penny good or Penny bad? Now, after we've done that, and the hope is this brother's going to recover, then we can decide who was on whose side. And I got to think, this brother was on the side, the man with, because he didn't just shoot him.
Right.
He punched him in the face
first. Punched him in the face, yes.
So, I mean, then pulls out the gun
right
to shoot.
Right.
So you think about that. You got to be extra angry.
Yes.
Right, to do that.
Because I'm just imagining this scene. You know, Tyrone's feeling good. It's July 3rd. He's off work. And he's like, man, I know maybe this class doesn't look as good as last year, you know? Like, maybe they don't have the number one class anymore and James Wiseman's gone and Pressure 2 would turn pro. But we're going to get Musa, okay? We're going to get Musa. And Penny is a good coach. He's going to get this program turned around.
Yeah.
And then his cousin says, y'all ain't getting Musa. He's going to LSU.
No, I could see this reenactment. You're right.
He's going to LSU, and y'all ain't getting the waivers for DeAndre Williams and Landers Nye II, okay?
Said Penny wasn't even going to make the tournament last year. Oh.
Tyrone Taylor's cousin is saying this is a swing year for Penny. All successful coaches in the history of Memphis basketball have a tournament appearance by their third year. I don't think Penny's going to get it. And that's when Tyrone Taylor loses it. He says, you don't talk about my coach like that. Man, pow, pops him. Not enough. Pulls his gat out. Pow. I mean, I got to tell you, it escalated pretty quickly, you know? Because you think, like, you know, a shot, to the jaw would be enough at that point. You know, he must have been talking down on Penny. He must have been saying some real ish. He must have. You know what it was? I think the cousin was saying they were wrong to fire Tubby. I think that's the only thing that I think would push Tyrone to that level.
You know how we like to say sometimes we talk about crazy fans or whatever, and sometimes it's important to point out the fact that this doesn't just happen in Memphis. Like right there's crazy fans everywhere. This ain't just a Memphis thing. But is a story like this kind of just a Memphis thing?
Yes, it is.
Tell me where else.
They ain't fighting
you
over Ed Orgeron in Baton Rouge.
About the college, about the basketball coach, the college basketball coach that Blood pulls a gun on Blood and fires after hitting him in the face.
It's nowhere.
Where does that happen?
It's just Memphis. Like literally, it's just Memphis. I mean, the reality.
Over Penny Hardaway.
Being a good coach. Like, that's it. Like they were arguing over whether Penny or Hardaway was a good coach or not. I don't think they're doing this in Baton Rouge with Ed Orgeron. Obviously, even before the national championship, there's not much of an argument now. But before, they weren't fighting and shooting each other over, you know. And
how
the
much
way,
of this is the stress we're all going through?
Well, I think that's part of it.
An added layer.
Let's go ahead and say this now. We do not condone violence on this show, and we certainly feel like there was a better way to have handled this situation than, you know, shooting your cousin in the chest.
I think better ways happen all over Memphis every day.
Yes.
When you have these kinds of discussions, because these kinds of discussions happen every day in Memphis.
That being said, no, I think this is a story that is very much unique to Memphis. It's that passion, man. And weirdly, okay, and I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but it's just true. It's why Memphis basketball is a good job, because you will shoot your cousin over it. Like it creates that much, that strong, that intense, that profound a feeling that you are willing to pull a gun out and shoot your cousin. Now, we also don't know what else was said. You know what I mean? Like, there could have been some totally non-Memphis basketball related stuff, and I would think there would have been. I don't think you just go from punching somebody in the face over Memphis basketball to shooting them. I mean, maybe, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff.
You're saying the fight escalated and then you.
Yeah, like there's a lot of stuff in between. You know what I mean? Like, how do you get from there to there? But I do feel like this is just, it is such a part of the fabric that makes Memphis basketball what it is that you can have stories like this. And to be honest, like, it's insane, but it's really not, you know, all together. It's like, yeah, well, you know, it is Memphis. Like, you know, it is Memphis basketball. And it is Penny Hardaway. And, you know, I would just tell Tyrone, you know, and his cousin, you know, the jury's kind of out, you know. Let's see what happens after season three. I mean, he did have the number one recruiting class in 2019. That's never happened in the history of Memphis basketball before. It may never happen again. You know, they're probably about to get Musa Cisse any day now. So he's doing a good job. He's doing a good job.
Brother Stan Beatty tweets into us. That's why I wanted to look it up, because he said a woman killed another woman over Alabama football. Look it up. I did very quickly. Look it up. And back in 2013, a woman was charged with killing a fellow Alabama fan after the end of the Iron Bowl. Was angry that the victim and others didn't seem upset over the Crimson Tide's loss to arch rival Auburn and the sister of the slain woman. Okay, so it was another woman. In this case, another fellow Alabama fan, but wasn't family. And here too, not to justify it, but it game involved. You're watching that. This is what makes it extra weird. This story here is that you're just arguing over the idea of whether or not he's a good coach.
Yeah,
it wasn't some of my most heated arguments, and it's never gotten to this degree. But some of them, John, have involved an actual game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the actual, and I'm arguing afterwards with somebody or whatever. My gosh, when Memphis, David Vaughn, the tip-in to beat Arkansas in the NCAA tournament, I believe it was 1992. All my friends obviously were on the Memphis side. We were all watching it together.
Yep.
I'm on the Arkansas side because of Todd that day. They lose. Man, I get into a crazy argument about how much better Arkansas is than Memphis and how this was a fluke or whatever. Didn't matter. It was a fluke. Memphis was moving on. Ended up being a hell of a year for Memphis. And come Penny Hardaway playing during that game, but had to, man, walked home all the way from North Memphis, man, to Midtown. So hot because I want to say Arkansas was top 10 that year, and David Vaughn got him at the end. Dave Vaughn had a masterful game. But back to the point, the heated argument, thank God, no guns, no fights, but it came off a game. And where emotions get high, they get tense, all that. And just speaking to this 2013 case, clearly some of that was involved. But the idea that you're just arguing over whether Penny's a good coach, most fans decide that, you know, we've seen it here with whether it's Pastner or Tubby.
Right.
You decide it with your wallet, right? You decide,
hey, no question.
Okay, they're a good coach
not
or not, I'm supporting or not. You don't get like this about it.
Yeah.
And again, it's just the idea of whether or not he's a good coach. No game whatsoever involved. So, man, I tell you, clearly not unique. People get into fights over sports. But the idea of how good the coach is, man, only in Memphis, man. But again, I say all that should go without saying. We hope this brother's going to be all right and going to live through this.
Yeah.
I don't know whether these guys will be making up though if he does.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see if the
Penny Hardaway.
At this point, is it up to the cousin to press charges, or is it out of his hands now? Like, is it now a local government situation because it was
First off, he wasn't supposed to have the gun,
right?
So yeah, it takes it out of
so even if the cousins, I don't want to press charges, they don't matter.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna say, you know, hey, we gonna press charges on a man shooting you in your chest. That's second degree murder he's been charged with.
Yeah, no, it's a tough situation.
Just in
the
deal where I think he can say, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm gonna let this pass.
Right.
Don't send Tyrone. Don't send Tyrone to jail.
Just don't shoot me again, Tyrone.
I don't think that's going to happen here because of the way Tyrone dealt with this.
Yeah, I wish I wish we could hear. I'm sure they had a great argument on both sides, you know, both sides.
Now, you and me have had some hot ones.
Yeah, except Tyrone's cousin brought up, you know, sort of discussion points, and, you know, Tyrone brought up hollow points, you know, quite literally, you know. So you got to be careful.
I see what you did there. That was probably inappropriate.
You got to be careful. I guess now, since we're sharing, and we'll take people calling in, we'll take calls on sort of your own.
Somebody also sent me a Mexican soccer match and how rowdy that got, to your point. Nobody gets their head cut off to the degree that you're talking about.
Well, maybe I exaggerated that part, but I do know it gets lit out there at those soccer matches. I guess, you know, when I think about times that I've been really passionate and really upset and gone sideways about sports, I think about, most of the arguments we've had on this show, you know, we got into a yelling match about Jamichael Green and Deion Waiters. That was weird.
The
idea that I even cared enough to get mad about that is.
Man, you were just having a bad day or something.
I probably was. That
maybe like Tyrone.
Mariota, we've certainly had our run-ins on, you know, and now, ironically, the dude plays for the Vegas Raiders. I mean, that's just my luck, man. So that
Arma.
Chris Crawford, as everybody knows, we've told the story time and time again. You know, you said he was going to be in the league. I said he's not going to be in the league. You know, we had it out. I ended up being right. Not going to hold that against you. But, you know, I that one definitely was in my camp.
Well, he had the size.
He did have the size. And he had the vision, too. I mean, he had tools, you know. He just didn't have the athleticism or the speed, you know.
He was not explosive enough. Had a shot, though, with the Cavs.
He did.
And their summer league team, at least.
But there was really – there's one time –
like, how do you get mad over – it's the same thing. How do you get mad over whether Chris Crawford's a pro or not?
The drinks were flowing.
But you have to add some stuff to it.
Yeah. I'm assuming that Tyrone and his cousin were having a good time prior to this moment.
And anyway, I don't think that argument reached the heights it did if the tension level it did if Mark Weber's not driving. The fantastic photojournalist for the Daily Memphian now, because then, John, I'd have been too concerned with driving. I was very concerned.
Oh, you're blaming Mark Weber.
Not blaming him. I'm saying if I'm driving, I don't think it gets as tense as it did, because then I'm just waving you off.
Yeah.
Right? But because I was in the passenger seat,
right,
and you were in the back, and I'm turning around, honestly, you kept saying
stuff under your breath to me about it, like you didn't want to let it go. You know, you just kept coming back like, this man think Chris Crawford ain't going to be an elite. You know, like, you just couldn't let it go. You know, I had moved on.
Yeah, I look silly. When you do me like that, when you try to sound like me like that on something like this where I was clearly wrong, it makes people pick your side more so.
I don't want anybody to pick my side.
Because I don't think I sounded like that. And, again, at that point, it was still all possible.
I think it was still possible. I think
you make me sound like a fool saying it like that and with what happened.
I think there were a couple things going on there. I think you sort of did not love the fact, and I don't blame you, brother. Trust me, I don't blame you. I love you. I don't think you love the idea of sharing a hotel room with me. I don't think you love. I don't think you love the idea that you felt sort of obligated to me. You know, as you were trying to help me, but I don't think you loved every minute of it. You know, so I think
that had not. I was the reason you were. What are you talking
that's what
about?
I'm saying you felt like you had to, right? Like you had to help a young man, you know, chase his dream.
I mean, you don't feel like you have to do that, something like that out of the kindness of your heart, and then hold it against him.
Well, I know, but
and then hold it against the man. But, yeah.
I mean, no. I just think there are a lot of dynamics going on there, you know?
Now, you, what were you at the time, 19, 20 years old?
Probably,
clearly ahead of the game. You're like a young Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Now, Ja not knowing
and
that
you're like Anthony Tolliver
putting the shower curtain in the shower, yeah, that started to heighten tensions at that point. But, no, we realized it was much deeper that night.
Yes, it was.
That's another reason why I don't drink anymore. It's good.
I don't think that's why.
Because things like Chris Crawford, right, could drive you to – being ready to choke your colleague at
that was just on your part. I didn't want to get into a fight with you.
Reporter.
But there's one time
I balled up fists like that dude on The Simpsons in that day. Yeah, oh yeah,
there
Mark had to separate us outside that Tulsa hotel. So stupid.
Should I tell this story, man? Should I tell it? You know the story, but I've never told it on radio in my entire. I've been on radio for 7 years.
Wait a minute, let me ask you a one word question. FedEx form.
FedEx form.
Oh, okay.
FedEx form.
I know what you speak of.
FedEx form. And we're talking about sort of getting out of line, getting out of hand. This is absolutely this
over sports.
This absolutely it fits into that category. Uh-huh. And I'm conflicted on whether I should name people or not. Like, because it's really, you know, I'm not trying to make. I was the one who let it get to where it got. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the one who allowed it to escalate. And I'm the one who really, you know, acted out of line for the most part. So I don't want this to be something where, you know, I'm heaping blame on anybody other than myself. But I'll tell it without naming names. I'll name some names, but not all names. So Shaq Goodwin was a freshman. Shaq Goodwin was a freshman. And I can't remember the exact game. I wish I did. But it was a winter game. It was inside FedEx Forum. And there was a local media member who was very vocal about Shaq sucking, right? Like that this local media member's contention was that Shaq Goodwin sucked or that he wasn't good or whatever the case may be. And he's a freshman, he's a McDonald's All-American. And I can't remember how it happened, but I took the other side. I said, no, he doesn't. Shaq Goodwin does not suck. He's a freshman.
Look
and
at you.
You know, he's – this is what I get. This is what I get, man. And I said, I don't think he sucks. I think he's a really good player. So it's halftime, and, you know, I think that half Shaq had dogged it. Like, he had not looked good in that first half. And so this local media member was looking right. Well, as the second half started, Shaq Goodwin came out and scored, like, 8 in a row. Like, Shaq Goodwin came out and scored, like, the first 8 to 10 points.
Oh, boy, I can feel you smiling.
Shaq Goodwin came out and scored the first 10 points of the second half.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you got to get that dirt off your shoulder. That's how I was feeling, you know?
Feeling validated.
Vindicated. Yeah. Yes. And so I actually, because me and this local media member were not sitting particularly close to each other, right, I went to, and I think this is probably where it all got sideways, I went to social media, and I – because it wasn't happening. It was a conversation that was happening off of social media. I put it on social media.
Oh, yeah.
I said, Shaq Goodwin doesn't suck, huh, now? Or something along those lines, right? Like, Shaq Goodwin sucks, huh? Like, sarcastic.
Did you at the person?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, they, like, give you a little bit of credit of for course. That, not just the shady
I don't do subtweets. I don't do that. I don't play those games. Never. You cannot find a subtweet in the history of my Twitter account. And so I at the media member, and the media member blocks me on Twitter. Media member just totally blocks me on Twitter. And I was like, really? Like, that seems like unnecessary. You know, we were having a lighthearted conversation. You know, I'm just having fun back, and you blocked me? So anyway, that's it. And
oh, but that man getting hot. Got 8 points to start the half.
Yeah.
Did he finish with a good game at least?
I think he finished with a fine game, yeah. Like, I don't think he, like, submitted his lottery pick status, but, like, he looked fine. And so then this sort of, and again, you got to remember, this is probably 8-9 years ago. I'm 21 years old, freshly 21 years old. I don't even know where I'm working at this point. Oh, I think I just started the commercial appeal. I said, this was my first year at the Commercial Appeal.
You were getting in altercations with everybody.
And in the post-game area, I think I confronted the media member about blocking me. And I don't remember what the explanation was. Everybody was just goofing, you know. It doesn't mean anything, you know, just whatever. And that was fine. Like, I was mad, but I kind of had let it go, let it sort of wash off my back. And so then I'm the elevator. So just for perspective, in the FedEx Forum lobby in the media sort of area, the elevator is right by the workroom, right? So it's like right there, probably like 6 or 8 feet away from the workroom. And I was in there sort of doing, I don't even remember what I did back then. Like, I don't know if I like wrote stories or sidebars. I have no idea what I did.
Just there.
Yeah.
Just on the scene.
I just existed. And I heard some snickering.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'll do it every time.
I heard some snickering.
Got under
sort
your
of
skin, did it?
In my direction from this media member and other media members whom I actually at that time looked up to and still love and respect. And as a 21-year-old, it just sent me off a cliff. Like, I felt embarrassed. I felt humiliated. I felt like I was the butt of a joke.
Oh, ostracized.
I felt
everybody else is laughing at you.
You know, because I'm the one that's blocked. I'm the one who's.
I think we all get that.
You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like this sense of shame, right? Like, I mean, I'm a 21-year-old kid just trying to make it in this industry, and people I respect and looked up to are out there laughing at me, and so you know when you're when you're feeling backed into a corner like that, like for me, like I lose it. It's fight or flight, and I was ready to fight.
So did this lead to a fight?
And so what happened was I jetted out of the workroom, and I went, this is crazy, and I went to the elevator, basically, like, ready to go. And, bro, it was like.
Over Shaq Goodwin.
And Bob Wynn. FedEx Forum security.
Bob Wynn was there?
Bro, everybody, because, I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, voices were getting raised, you know, things like that. We're challenging each other. Security all rushed in and broke us up. And I don't remember how it happened, but I ended up getting out of that sort of deal and going up the stairs to meet them as they got off the elevator.
Wait, this is after
FedEx
Forum security tried to intervene.
And so what ended up happening there was FedEx Forum security is basically walking in lockstep with us. You know, like I mean it's crazy.
And this other media member.
And the people who were with them, yeah. And it was a crazy scene. It was an absolutely ridiculous scene. Nothing ended up happening and
the game was still going on?
No, it was over. This was post game, man. This was post game. And I'll never forget. Let me give a shout out to my man Clay Bailey, who was there, who grabbed me and shook me and said, "Get yourself together. You are better than this."
An old pro told you what's up, veteran of the game.
And you know, luckily nobody got shot in the chest, right? Like nobody got nothing even happened physically, right?
Well, yeah, I don't think there
was. But it was certainly like. It was certainly a learning moment, man, you know, and that's how sports can be, man, you know. They bring it out. Does any of that make sense? Like, I don't know. I was totally out of line. Like, I was absolutely I was young and dumb, you know. I was young and dumb, and, you know, I didn't know what else to do. I wasn't emotionally mature enough, I think, to harness those sort of emotions,
well,
you know.
That's good that you see that now.
Oh, I mean, there's just no doubt, you know. And I really regret.
Hey, didn't you? Do you apologize to most involved then?
Absolutely, I did. Right.
Well,
absolutely,
I
did. And I, you know, part of this is sort of therapeutic for me. You know what I mean? Like just talk. I've never talked about it. You know what I mean? And I think about it from time to time. Just I'm embarrassed by my behavior. I wasn't raised like that.
I remember sometimes you see a white man really angry when he turns red.
Yeah.
Like you were apple red that night.
Well, it was funny because. So was Jeff.
Now, some white guys don't get it, but some do. When they get angry, they turn red.
Oh, yeah, no, I turn red.
And there were some red faces up in there that night.
Jeff was red as well. I think Jeff disowned me that day.
He was red in terms of his frustration level with you.
Oh, he was totally, honestly.
Took it too far. It's a talk about Shaq. Is he good or not? 8 points he scored, okay.
Right.
And you did. You took it public.
Yeah, I did. I was wrong. But at least I didn't shoot anybody in the chest, you know, over it. I mean, that you see how, you know.
But come on, FedEx Forum, security has to intervene.
That was insane.
That got to a level that, thank God Clay Bailey came to you and said, after he got done shaking you, should have been like that scene on Airplane where everybody just hits the, I should have shook you up after Clay Bailey.
Yeah, well, thankfully.
You ever seen Airplane?
Of course. Thankfully, you know, I've never had an incident like that ever again. At FedEx Forum, and you know what I mean? Not even close. I've never even had a dust up. So much as a dust up, never had it. I've never even disagreed with anybody inside the walls of FedEx Forum ever again since that day. You know, so
is your home okay? Your home life?
Yeah, my home life's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just when it can get to this degree, obviously, and I Sam would tell me.
Well, yeah,
if it was, when it can get to this degree, and obviously you've grown quite a bit, but you know over. Yes. Shaq Goodwin, good or not, 8 points to start the second half.
Yeah.
Gonna set off the fight.
Well, I told Sam in our vows.
I just want to make sure home is okay.
Don't bring up Shaq Goodwin's name in this house. Because it's gonna get to a point you don't want to get.
That's how it used to be with me and Jawa and talking about our home when guy cost you a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you tell Faith, don't talk about that man.
But you just let him, you know, stay in your house. You let him fart in your house. I mean, you didn't do nothing about it. You just kinda let him be there. You didn't kick him out.
Who?
Jawa.
Man, he was gone by the end of the first, by the end of the other game, they were gone.
Well, thank
he
God.
How uncomfortable and tense the situation was.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you.
He was just stopping into hate.
That was wrong of him to come in there during the Super Bowl. You're a lifelong Bears fan and, you know, just try to poo-poo on all over your parade, you know?
He's trying to get that first one since 85. Everybody can understand that.
It's hard to get to a Super Bowl.
Hester had us on our way.
It's been 17 years for us, and it may be another 17 yet. But you know what? Here's the deal, man.
Y'all, we're all tense as it is with everything the country's going through, everything else we got that's real on our plate.
Yes.
Love thy cousin.
Love thy cousin. Love thy right. media Lo- member. Love thy brother.
Media member, thy brother, all of that. And when it comes down to Penny Hardaway, I'll just give you the answer. He's a good coach.
There you go. If you'd have been there, man, maybe you would have not gotten shot. And so
Penny got Musa coming, vaccine coming, going to cure us all, going to cure that program, you know, take it back to elite-level status. Nothing to fight about.
Nothing to fight about. Nothing to fight about.
Man, we were talking about Josh or Tubby. You know, Tubby really.
Well, Tubby was
good coach, just doesn't work in this situation.
Correct.
Okay.
Josh was our
guy. Great talent.
Yeah.
Coach that was learning.
Absolutely.
Penny could coach. They were number 5 in defensive efficiency last year with the youngest team in America.
With the youngest team in America?
The most inexperienced team in the country. They were top 5 in defense. That tells me the guy can coach. You put good players with it, they're going to get to a tournament. Musa Cisse coming, that's the word. No need to fight about Penny.
Yep, absolutely.
We were all still on the same page about Penny. I didn't realize people were so far on the other side yet that tensions could rise.
There you have it.
But
there you have it.
Man, I hope that brother's okay too.
Indeed,
that he comes through
indeed.
Just fine in this.
We'll take your calls on this topic a little bit later in the show. Stick around. We'll come back. Lots more to come. Big Ten going conference only. What are the implications there? What are the ramifications there? A lot of college administrators across the country say they were blindsided by this decision. We'll get into all of that and more. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
When you're hunting for small game or big game or thinking of selling your home, think about Sheldon Rosengarten and you, Hugh Mallory.
That's right, Sheldon. We're with Mark Spensdorf Realtors. And while I'm often successful when I go hunting, I heard you're such a lousy golfer, they've banned you from some courses.
Very funny, you. I may be a horrible golfer, but I have a highly successful strategic marketing program with the famous Shellbucks option that takes up most of my practice time. My clients would much rather see me sell their home than hit a hole-in-one.
Sheldon, you're normally about 5 strokes away from a hole-in-one. That's on a par 3.
Yeah. Remember, don't tee off with any agent. Talk to 2 or 3 and let you, Mallory, and me be one of them. Remember what people often say. When you want the job done, call Sheldon, and Mallory moves Memphis. That's Sheldon Rosengarten and you, Mallory, at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now, 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com.
Join Brandy on Friday, July 10th, live on her Instagram at 6 p.m. Eastern for the 2020 Census Concerts That Count with some of sport's best, including Harrison Barnes of the Sacramento Kings, Eric Kendricks of the Vikings, Santia Deck of the WFLA, and me, Big Tigger. We need to come together to create the future we want to live in, and filling out your 2020 Census is one thing we
can do to shape our future. That's Brandy, live this Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Take your census now at 2020census.gov and check out Brandy's new album, BE7, dropping July 31st.
Imagine a coffee cup. It may seem small, but it comes from a small business, one of thousands on eBay, powered by millions of people, all working to get you exactly what you want. That's no small thing. That's everything. Get your thing on eBay.
You've been camping in your backyard, cycling in your living room. You've been enjoying rain showers in your bathroom, campfires on your TV screen. You've been counting stars and birds from your window and holding family cookouts in the kitchen. Now, get ready to go. Go on a real vacation. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRV.com.
The diehard batteries you know and trust are now at Advance Auto Parts. That means all the reliability, durability, and power you expect now come with free testing, free installation, and the unrivaled expertise of Advance team members. No appointment necessary. And for a limited time, purchase a diehard battery and enter to win a free Optima battery maintainer and charger. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See store for details.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
Now is my time.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Everybody rock with me because I'm up now. Took your girl and I'm scoring like I made the touchdown. Swerving in that Lambo, doors go up, not on the bus now. Used to want a G-Shock, now I'm walking with a bus down. Pull up and I'm flooded with a iced out watch. Whip it look like butter, baby, pecan drop. Pecan drop, put that
phone. All right, back to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Aki Khan's going to join us at 12:25. We may even ask him what's the hottest he's ever gotten about a sports topic, right? Like, what's the hottest he's ever been? I'm sure he's probably had some moments where he wanted to punch somebody in the media, you know, here in Memphis because they were talking that ish.
Yeah, he said he wanted to punch me after that brutal loss they had to Oklahoma State.
Well, I mean,
I said them folks had no plan.
Well, the truth of the matter is this.
You can't just blame players.
Yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is, that was a horrible loss.
And you got it wasn't as much on Aki was on Josh. You can't come after a loss like that with, you know, that kind of team and that kind of backcourt, which had been hyped as number one in the country, if I remember correctly, by CBS Sports, and then say you had no plan. No plan B was the point. You can't just come out and get every as a coach, you gotta have a backup plan and a backup plan and a backup plan.
Yep.
If it's just the players, right, then what's you there for then? I mean, John and I could do that. We could be, if it's just on the players, we could be. That's why you bring a coach to the game for your expertise, your development of players, knowing the right buttons to push. And if there's no plan B, right, no ability to adjust, that was the whole point. And anyway, I don't think, you know, I think everybody was frustrated from that loss, specifically the way it happened, how talented they were, that the easy answer was to throw the players under the bus. Mm-mm.
Yeah, no, I agree. So we'll ask Aki Collins about that at 12:25, but there was some significant news yesterday, Jason, in the world of college football because the Big Ten announced they're going to play conference games only. Now, a lot of people went crazy. A lot of people needed a Xanax yesterday.
Boy, were you among them?
No, because I still believe there will be football this year. I still believe that. I just think the implications of not having it are just too great, too massive. And if there is a way to do it, then they will find a way to do it. This is one of those ways, right? This is one of those ways where you can sort of shorten the season, truncate the season, still have a meaningful season.
And still have their conference championship.
Exactly. That's you know, again, the first thought a lot of people have is, oh, my God, the season's going to get canceled. Well, no. I mean, what's going to happen, the way I see this sort of playing out, is teams are going to kick the can down the road as long as they can before they decide to go to spring. So it's going to be like, okay, well, we're going to push back to September 15th. We're going to push back to September 30th. We're going to push back to October 15th. They're going to keep kicking the down. And then at some point, yeah, it's going to be obvious that you don't have any choice but to move to the spring. And just reevaluate from there. But that's going to be a last resort. Everybody has pretty much universally agreed on that. The Ivy League, we don't have to explain why they're massively different than, you know, Division One and the majority of the FBS. It's just a different universe where they don't make money on sports. I mean, this is the truth. They don't have television contracts. It is what it is.
So there is no need to make the as much of a choice between money and how much that matters to you.
Correct.
And safety.
They just
so
have
you
to
just
make
go
a safety
safe.
Decision.
You just go safe.
Yes. They just that's all they have to do. In fact, they probably lose money on sports, so it's better for them to just make the decision to say we may or may not have sports in the spring too, you know. But one of the fallouts potentially from the Big Ten going conference only is it eliminates Memphis Purdue. Memphis was scheduled to travel up to Purdue this season. Not only were they going to have a good chance to win the game, they were also going to get a payout. I believe the number is $1 million.
I thought Giannino had 750. I could be off.
He said that, but I was told $1 million.
Okay.
On the phone yesterday. Now again, the contract may say 750.
Either way, it's somewhere in there.
It's between 750 and $1 million. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So it's a significant. I mean, it's a significant amount of money, right? It's a significant amount of money that Memphis is getting as a result of this game.
Part of the reason why you're playing it.
And now it's not happening, right? Now it's not happening. And here's what I will say. Memphis is going to get money from this game, like whether it happens or not. Memphis will be getting a payout. Will it be $750? Will it be $1 million? You know, that I think is up for debate. But what you cannot do, I mean, this is just to me very simple. You don't even have to be an attorney to know this. If you're citing, you know, force majeure and you can't play your non-conference games because of the pandemic, well, then why are you then allowed to play conference games?
Mm-hmm.
Does the
one thing, but you cancel the whole season.
Does coronavirus enjoy conference games more than non-conference?
Right.
Does it like to sit back and, you know, chill out for a weekend?
This
Purdue plays Penn State.
This is the John Martin court argument.
Yeah, like,
yes,
I mean,
I'm hearing it.
Does COVID-19 just like to take a break?
Jurors are listening.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
The answer is no. The answer is no. If you are going to cite force majeure, which you can, but you can't play any games if you do that. You have to say that because of these unforeseen circumstances with COVID-19 and sort of difficulties and logistical challenges and the safety issues, we cannot safely field a team this year. That's fine, and you wouldn't have to pay out.
But can they not put that on their conference then, since it's the conference call, and when they then turn there, if they hadn't already?
Well, somebody's paying that money, whether
that's
it's
what
Purdue
I'm saying.
Or the Big Ten.
And in this case, they could look to the conference and say, well, you guys cancel. Couldn't they, if it all came down to it, in terms of trying to get out of this? Now, I mean, we've seen some cases where you end up, you know, you settle. But couldn't they play that card? Why wouldn't they play that card, John, if they're going to go this far and take it to court? Why wouldn't they play that card and just say, well, the conference called it? This wasn't our call. This was something that was out of our hands.
Well, for sure. But at the end of the day, like, you are a member of that conference, and that you were liable for that conference's decisions. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at the end of the day. So that money.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm playing devil's advocate. Memphis going to get paid on this one way or the other, whether it's settling or going all the way balls to the wall.
But even bigger than that, I think, and a lot of other people believe this too as well, this could accelerate what a lot of people thought would happen, you know, in time, right? But this could be sort of we're seeing the first signs of the acceleration of the pull away from the Power Five and the non-Power Five. Now, there's been a wide gap that's existed, right, forever. I mean, and it's only getting wider. But one of the ties that you still had was, well, Power Five's still going to schedule these non-Power Five games and give these teams $1 million, $1.5 million. And that way, these schools, and I'm not really talking about Memphis so much as I'm talking about, like, Tulane, and I'm talking about these smaller schools, you know, who don't have the success or the support, right? Tulane probably is a bad example because they have the endowment, but, you know, these smaller schools like Arkansas State and the Sun Belt, you know, and some Conference USA teams, you know, who really do depend on these million-dollar payouts, and now you wonder, is the Power Five going to feel obligated to play them anymore? Is this going to be sort of the first sign of, well, we're not messing with them anymore, and now you see the super conferences, you know, you see that five-team super conference stuff start to get formed. I actually think the tectonic plates have been moving on this for quite some time, and I believe that this is probably the first step towards that, and if that is the case, it is going to get nasty. It is going to get – I mean, you're talking about courts. You're talking about lawsuits. You're talking about, I mean, the disembowelment of the NCAA as we know it. You know, I mean, it's – dude, I mean, I honestly believe that the Big Ten – because look around. People are saying across the country that they were shocked by what the Big Ten did yesterday.
Well, I think shocked that it came so soon.
Yeah.
They'd all considered the possibility of just going conference only. But
it's July 10th.
The fact that they made the decision when they did is what they were shocked by.
Yeah. I mean, it's still very early in relation to making those kinds of decisions. I think you could, you know, the SEC has said, we'll take this thing into August if we have to. You know what I mean? And we know how quickly, you know, I saw a report earlier this week from some outlet that said if we all just start wearing masks in 2 weeks, we could get our hospitalization stable. We could all get, you know. So this stuff.
Do you think Memphis was shocked by this, too, then when it came down?
Because
if you notice what the way Laird Veach put it.
Yes.
Want to thank Purdue Athletics Administration for keeping us appraised of the situation as best as they could. With that line in there, the whole as best as they could sounds to me like we weren't too appraised of the situation.
They were not.
And giving it. You know, putting that on the conference.
Yeah,
in fact, telling us as much as you could at this time, but we didn't see this coming. We didn't know this was coming, essentially saying.
Absolutely. In fact, what I can tell you is that even the AAC commissioner did not fully believe that he did not know. The AAC commissioner did not know. So,
well, it gives the pandemic, too, in a way, to this whole point about those of us that have thought, you know, a break-off might be coming anyway, and just how reluctant they are to give a schools like Memphis a real piece of the pie and sort of keep you where you are. But you've seen the concern, too, from some of these Power Fives, if you've been reading about this. How can I trust the opponent I'm bringing in for these bye games that they've tested to the degree that I have, right? They're lower level than us. They're not as well resourced, right? How can I trust that they're not just coming up here to get their payday and maybe they've cut some corners in terms of having guys available? Maybe they've cut some corners in terms of testing, in terms of having doing things all out, right, taking every single precaution. Doing that, why? Because we know, number one, they need the payout. Now, this is me, a big school, looking at it, you know, putting your hands together and sort of coming up with a conspiracy theory. But it's there are those questions in terms of those big guys can now have an excuse to ask, oh, man, do I got to bring them up here for a payout, knowing how badly they need it. They might cut some corners to come up here and get it. They may have 10 guys that are positive, but they haven't told us. So then they're playing against my guys. That becomes a liability. All of a sudden, we got a problem on our campus.
Yep.
So this gives them that out, the way to throw all of that out. And, you know, that's a fear. Because, again, if they can use that excuse on you, And again, you know, it might not be an excuse in some cases. Those are real concerns because, again, so many of those lower level schools don't have the resources, right? Don't have the deal with the lab to do it as well as you big Power Five schools do. So again, it's almost like you take your ball and you go off and play with the ones that look more like you in that instance. What's the incentive to keep helping the little guy who you only give what one spot to on New Year's Six anyway? I mean, the little guy that doesn't really, we've discussed it. You know, maybe the perfect scenario, perfect storm lines up, but doesn't really have a shot at a national championship with the way things are built. I mean, it'd be crazy. We've seen some exceptions, I guess. People try to throw UCF at you or a Houston at you 1 year, but we realize how tough it is. It's not – the system ain't built for you.
Right.
And so why they would help now when now they've got really an excuse even further to break off, that for me is a concern, like you're breaking up.
Yeah.
This could – like you're bringing up. This – this really could be it.
Yeah.
In terms of, because I think eventually they said that the Pac-12 was probably already considering this.
Yep.
ACC's got a plan, it's going to look like it.
Yep.
And so, you know, if that's where we're all headed, no conference games. Now, don't ask me how you figure out, the playoff from there.
Ugh. Because some teams that might play more than eight.
Well, it's not just Memphis-Purdue. Penn State, Virginia Tech, our guy over Virginia Tech, in Fuente. You lose a big one there and an opportunity, right? It's some big school's opportunity to show other conferences, to show the committee, hey, we're better when we can leave conference, beat big dogs, and it's the way in.
Yep.
That's out, in a lot of these situations, particularly if everybody goes to this, which it feels like inevitably they will. So I'm more – forget, that's tough for Fuente, tough for Virginia Tech, all that. Maybe for Penn State as well, depending on how good Virginia Tech's going to be. But I'm more concerned for us. I'm more concerned for the Memphises, the UCFs, all that. Because, look, first off, John, they don't want to play you straight up anyway. I know you got a good deal, Mississippi State.
Right.
But they don't want to play you straight up. It's why you got a 2-for-1 with Arkansas. So why in the world, right, would all of a sudden they're going to throw you this, this life raft and say, hey, come with us? No, they're gonna use this as their excuse to break off. It feels like, at least with the way things are going.
And here's what I believe. Like, I think Memphis, I was actually talking to somebody about this yesterday. I think Memphis, where they fit into that, is good. Memphis offers enough, the football program. If there's a super conference formation, my hot take is Memphis will be a part of it. The football program right now has the number 34 recruiting class in the country. They were in the Cotton Bowl last year. The basketball program has Penny Hardaway. The athletic department has never been better, right? It's never been in a better position than it is right now. So Memphis with its regional ties, where it is in the country, FedEx, where they are athletic department-wise, the way they've sort of spent the last few years, they are actually in a really good position and, to me, very attractive, to that, even more attractive than in 2016. They have a Cotton Bowl of their name now, They've proven – here's what they have in 2020 that they didn't have in 2016. Continuity proven that they're not just – Justin Fuente on the football side. They've now gone through Justin Fuente, Mike Norvell, and Ryan Silverfield, again, has the University of Memphis on pace to have the best recruiting class in the history of the program. So that's the one thing they have now on football. Because you could point to it, Jason, in 2016 and say, yeah, it looks good, and you hired a hot up-and-comer, but how do we know if this is just Justin Fuente or if there's really a program here, Well, now we know. They've hired two back-to-back coaches, bona fide successes in Justin Fuente and Mike Norvell. And although Brian Silverfield hasn't coached a regular season game yet, every indication is that he's going to be awesome, So I do think that the football program
is at the – that requires a super conference forming or whatever you do, though, that plan, right? You're right. You're in the best position now of the if we're going to call them have-nots right now, just in terms of Power Fives haves. You're in the best position to be in the door, but that would require, John, the door opening again. And maybe it does. Maybe it comes to that, But, again, the door opening and requiring even a Memphis, even a UCF, who we feel like should be in there, it requires ultimately, no matter how you break that up, it requires others getting less from what they're getting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I realize maybe that's the best thing. Maybe a super conference, something that, 40 had his out last. We were almost laughing at it in terms of how the bigs would look at the little schools that are now in their conference with them. But maybe you can get to something like that. But the point with that is those big dogs have to let you in. Those big dogs have to be willing to share part of that. And you make a great case. Memphis super attractive right now. But, again, that door's got to open.
Mm-hmm.
And
it does.
And they believed it was open 4 years ago. It really wasn't.
Right.
And that's the point is they have to be willing to share. So it comes down, again, to their willingness to let you in. Of course, Memphis is the prettiest-looking thing outside of the Power Five. It's right there. And it's important to be that so that when and if those doors do open, you're ready to walk in. You're ready to be a part of that. But Lord knows I've been covering Memphis too long. We've been fans of this program too long to just to hold out hope for that. But you have to. I realize when you're the president over there, you're the athletic director, you have to hold out hope for it, keep yourself in the best position to be welcome to the group. But man, I was never the cool guy in school. There was always the cool group. Then there was me, five me. That's what I pledged to, John, my fraternity, me, five me. It was a solo group, what I'm saying? Me, find me, just me.
Yep.
You got, and that's, it's kind of the way I feel. Again, that this is me, but we've never been a part of that big crew.
We've always wanted to be. Always wanted to be in the cool crew. And Lord knows, I hope before my dying day that Memphis does get there, that it's in there with the big dogs, because Lord knows they deserve it. But I am so tired of waiting and hoping that that we look pretty enough to them, because we've been doing that long enough. But that's the job. That's the other part about being, you know, administration over at Memphis, being athletic director over at Memphis, is that's the job. You have to keep yourself looking pretty. So for when that door does open and they do invite you in, you're ready to go. They've got them in position for it. I just have my doubts on whether they'll really ever truly open it, because it means ultimately a smaller piece of the pie for them.
That's true. But the dynamics certainly do appear to be changing very quickly.
The plates, like you said, how'd you put it? The tectonic plates are shifting?
Yes.
I like that. They do seem to be shifting, John.
Yeah. There you have it. Big Ten going conference only. We'll see how many conferences follow suit. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come in the rundown. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
With life looking a little different these days, Radio.com is here to keep you informed as we move forward together. With live local news available online, on your phone, smart speakers, and more, Radio.com keeps you updated on the latest guidelines and reopening plans in your community, wherever and however you're listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.